Begin the current daf says in the Darim daf Yadal. Begin in the bottom of daf Yud Gimel base, four lines up from the bottom of the Yamut, where the Gemara begins explaining the opening Mishnah of this parak of El Mutarin. Now the Mishnah said that these Nadarim, if you're matvis in these elements, is not going to create a nether, because they're not what's called Dav HaNadar, rather they're what's called Dav HaAsr. They're prohibited, not because someone said it, but because from Shemaim they're forbidden. Now the opening case, which we had alluded to the question when we quoted the Mishnah, was Chulin Sha'aychalacha, that which I will eat from you is Chulin, so that's going to be permitted. So the Gemara wonders and comments. Now it sounds like the reason why it's going to be permitted is because you said that that which I would eat from you will be unconsecrated, meaning things that are permitted. Now as the Ran explains the Gemara's point, is that obviously when you say the person's food should be chulin, you don't need it to say that halacha itself, because that's obviously permitted, because what are you doing? You're saying that it's kosher, permitted, that's what chulin is. There's no prohibitory aspect of chulin. Rather must be, you're trying to say the inference, and you're saying that, oh, only if you said chulin sha'eichalach, but ha'amar lachulin sha'eichalach, but if you said that lachulin should be that which I eat from you, mashma, that would sound like loy lachulin lahava, that it should not be, as mentioned in the past, the word la with a pasach in the same word can mean loy. So if you say that loy chulin sha'eichalach, that what I will eat from you should not be chulin, el a carbon, rather a carbon, that then that's going to be forbidden. So what does that mean? Who's the town of HaMishnah? So the Gemara says, Ira Meir, if it's like a Meir, can't be. Holes li mechlabas, we can on top of Yudalim and Aleph, lav atar shemeyahen. He doesn't hold of this concept of to infer from one thing to mean another thing, to say, oh, I don't want it to be chulun. What does that mean? Oh, so that means it's going to be hekdesh? That he doesn't say. Now, as the Rush points out, meaning when you do it with a pasach, la chulin, as others have had said, but if it would be loy chulin, sha'oichalach, then possibly that Ramey would agree that loy chulin is essentially saying hekdesh, oh, that it should be hekdesh, that what I eat of you. But if you're saying la chulin, instead of chulin, but adding on the lamed, that can't be Ramey, because Ramey holds, you don't say inferentially that, oh, it's, when you're saying la, to then say that means loy, and then to say that, oh, it should be hekdesh, that what I eat of you. So it can't be Ramey. Rather, it has to be like a Bihuda, who he holds a mechalal of atashmehen. But if that's the case, if the Tanna of Amishn that's opening up is Rabbi Huda, it's a high narration, it's the same thing we had, which Iran says that doesn't really mean the ratio, it means the Mishnah from the previous parak, which taught us when someone says, La chulin sha'eichalach, that's going to be aser. And that's Rabbi Huda. So we already know this halacha, so why is it repeated over here? If again, the whole point of saying chulin sha'eichalach is not necessary, only for the inference, and that inferential halacha, we already know. So on that, the Gemara says, that you're right. This that we said of the opening sentence of our Mishnah, chulin sha'eichalach, that it's permitted, it's not necessary to say that as halacha, because obviously it's permitted to say something like chulin. But neither is it necessary for the diuk of la chulin, because you're right, that was already mentioned in the previous parak. Rather, I did diktani bebasr kebasr chazr, kabbaydis kechavim. Since we went through all these different cases, as we explained in the previous daf, saying things that, although they're prohibited, but they're not prohibited through nether. So even though you're saying it should be like chazer, it should be like idols, you would think that that would make this thing for prohibited based on atfasa. It doesn't. So lahachi getani chulin, that's why it said chulin. In other words, it said all these different categories that it will not create a nether through hatfasa and that thing. So together with that, it said chulin, but you're right, the actual chiddush of chulin is not necessary. It's just saying all the different things that if you're making it should be like that, it's going to be permitted. Now, another approach, Ravinami says, actually, no, hachi getani. What the mission is teaching is as follows. Ve'elu mutarin kichulin. When it's saying ve'elu mutarin, chulin sha'eichalach, it's saying that these things should be permitted like chulin. In other words, as if you said chulin sha'eichalach, that it should be totally permitted, and that you don't need to have shayla, you don't have to find a pesach for such a nether. And those cases are when you say kabasa chazer, kabaitz kechavim, that's the chiddush. When it's saying that it's saying chulin sha'eichalach, not for the case, it's saying as a category. They're so permitted that it's like as if you said like chulin, which wouldn't be necessary even to find the pesach of the nether. Now, on this interpretation of Avinu, the Gemara asks, what? Are you telling me ve'iloy tana chulin, if it didn't say this description of how ineffective this nether is? That's almost like as if you're saying it should be like chulin. So you're saying if it didn't say that, havamina, I would have thought to say, boyesh'eila, that all these other cases we said that they're ineffective to create a nether, when you say like Chazer, Avodis Kechavim, but you would still need to find a Pesach. We would require you at least rabbinically to find a way out of this nether. But in me, Ikal Asuk Al Daitoch, can you really entertain such an option? But Hamad Diktani say, but look at the end of our Mishnah. The end of our Mishnah, as we explained in the previous daf, contrasts all these cases with the following case. Someone tells his wife, you're like my mother to me. Meaning, just like I'm prohibited to be intimate with my mother, so too with you. So we find an opening from elsewhere. As we explained in the previous daf, you can't say, oh, you understand the disgrace you made to your mother's dignity by saying that. So you have to find an opening from somewhere else. But that's the halacha seifa. But the inference is, but the first cases that didn't say you need a Pesach Makamacha, obviously that you don't need a request, an opening to find a way out of that, and it's just carte blanche, not an ineffective vow. So therefore, how can you say that that's why it's saying Chulin, to say that it's like you're saying with Chulin that you don't need to have a Pesach, when it obviously cannot have a Pesach just by the virtue of saying these cases of the contrast to the Sefer. So the Gemara says, you're right, El Machvar, rather it's clear, Chulin Memela Nasva. Obviously, it's not like the way Ravina said, but rather like the first terms of the Gemara, that we just put it together. Once we were saying all these other cases, we include Chulin, but you're right, there's no necessity not for the Halacha itself and not for the Dik. Now the Gemara moves on to the primary concept of the Mishnah, Menon Emili. From where do we know this concept that if you're matfis bedav ha'asr, that's not going to be create an isr not fasa. In other words, if you say that this piece of meat should be like a piece of chazer or a zara, which these are prohibited things, and you're transferring that isr, it's not going to work because they're prohibited, not based on a neder. So where do we know this from? So Amakar, the pasuk says in Mamidbar, ish ki yidr neder l'Hashem. If a man will go ahead and make a vow to Hashem, so we say yidr neder, actually yidr bedava hanader, until your neder is hatfasa in something that was itself prohibited because it was originally made through a neder. Now the Ram points out, his interpretation of the Gemara is that obviously the Gemara knows that if you matvis bedava hanader, it's going to create a neser. We don't need a pasuk to teach us the halacha batfasa. Reason being is because when you say kikar zeh alai aser, that this loaf of bread should be forbidden on me, that's a neder because that's the classic neder. Obviously, if you say that it should be to me like a carbon, we'll also create a neser because his logic is, he says, it's not any worse than the halacha of yadis, which is when you just infer by half a sentence, and we know what you're trying to say, that's like you said the whole sentence. When you're saying it should be like a carbon, obviously you're trying to say that it should be asr to you. Rather, he says that the pasuk of kiyad nadr is coming to teach us as an exclusionary concept, to say that, oh, but if it's not a davar hanadr, rather it's a davar ha'asr, then it's going to be permitted, it's only davar hanadr. But the concept of davar hanadr, obviously we know, hatfasa from svar. Now, so therefore, that's how we know to exclude the older halachas of our Mishnah, which are davar ha'asr. Now that, the question is, if that's the case, but actually to the contrary, if you're doing atfas, even if something that's prohibited, not through a neder, should create a neder. Why? Because the pasuk says, lesser Israel nafshay. There's a redundancy there too. And it's also mentioning iser, not neder, to create something forbidden on his soul. Now, if so, what you have to say is, what's these two ideas of linder neder and lesser iser? Each one is teaching the halacha itself, and not as an exclusionary concept. And that is, just like we obviously knew that hatfasa is not going to be a neder, so too, when the Torah is saying two different psukim, linda neder and lesser iser, it's coming to say, A, first of all, being matves bedava ha-nader, and then regarding the halacha of matves bedava ha-asa, that it's also going to be a neder, and each one will take effect, because if not, what is the interpretation of lesser iser? So therefore, why are we saying that linda neder is excluding a matves bedava ha'asim? So I think Moshe says, no, that's not a difficulty. Lesser isim ibayli, that's required for a different drasha, and not to include being matves bedava ha'asim to create a neder. Look at the time, like learn the braisa. Ezehu isa amabatayra, the braisa that was quoted in the previous daf, on daf yud beis amud aleph, says that what is the primary isra of neder that's written in the Torah? So chulu, it mentions over there, those cases now, but as Aram points out, since it is possible to make a drasha on the words lesser iser for something else, as we're shortly going to explain, that's what the braisa used it for something else. So Since it's logical to say, actually, that being matfis bedavah ha'aser should not take effect. Why? Because he says the following svar. He says, buy something that itself was forbidden through a neder, and then you want to be matfis, grab that and transfer it to something else and say that this loaf of bread should be to be aser as a neder, like the carbon, which it itself became aser through a neder, so you could transfer that. But something that was itself aser because the Torah says it's aser, so when you're saying that I want this to be aser to me, like let's say basar chazer, that's not possible. Because chazer made, Torah made forbidden, and he didn't make forbidden. So what are you saying that you want it to be like that? You don't have that power of authority. The Torah did that. Something that itself was made through a human usher. So you say, I want this to be the same. Because that's something that I can do. But something like that was forbidden from the Torah, what we call Dava usher, that is logical to say that you can't do that. And therefore, since we could interpret lesser Issa as something else, so therefore, we don't interpret it to say that even to include Matfez B'Dava usher. Now, the Chiddush is, so what is lesser Issa coming to teach? What is this Braisa that the Gemara doesn't fully quote it? It's coming to teach that although that the case of the Braisa that in this we had brought in the previous daf, it's talking about that if someone says that I want to be forbidden to eat meat or drink wine as the day that his father died, that the neder is going to take effect, even though that neder that is being matfis was an individual neder. It wasn't something that was forbidden for everybody. He says, today I want to be forbidden in meat and wine, just like that day that his father died. Now, the day that his father died, only he was forbidden in meat and wine. Now, that is learned out from Lesser Israel al-Nafshay. Because if not for that pasuk, we would have thought to say, when it says ki yidu neder, that you could be matfis bedava hanader, it's only something that what you're transferring is usher for everybody because of that neder, like a carbon, which is forbidden to everybody. That's what the Chiddush of Lesser Issa al-Nafshay comes to say, that even if it's only something that was a davar hanader individually, and he's transferring that now to something else, then that will also work in the Bechina, in the concept, in the construct of matves, bedavar hanader. But again, it doesn't come to teach us also bedavar asa, and rather that's excluded from linder neder, that atvasa only works in davar hanader and not in davar ha'asa. Now the Mishnah said, in contrast to these cases, that you... It's totally ineffective as a vow, and you don't even need a Pesach. But if someone tells his wife, "You're to me like forbidden, like my mother," so then he requires a Pesach, albeit from a makom acher, so that, as the Mishnah said, "Shelo yekel reish lekach," shouldn't create a laxity. Now the Gemara has to be Rimino, but this halacha that says that if you say that the wife should be like the mother, you have to find the Pesach. But we learn the Braisa that says, "Hare adalai kabasar ima." If someone tells his wife, "You are to me like my mother's flesh," or "Kabasar chesu," like my sister's flesh, all these things are forbidden to the person. Or "Ka'arlo," like fruits of the first 3 years on the tree, which is forbidden. "Ukaklai kerem," or forbidden mixtures, which are also forbidden. "Loi amar klom," he hasn't said anything, because these are things that are davar ha'aser, they're not davar ha'nader. So that contradicts our mission that says that it is somewhat that you said something, that you need to find a Pesach. Braisa makes it sound like you don't need to find any Pesach, it's like you didn't say anything. So Amabai Abai says, no, lawyer makulam mid raisa. And the Braisa says it like he didn't say anything, it means on a biblical level. But Ritzarach Sha'ila mid Rabbanah, but you still need a request, an opening from a chacham to get out of it, as the Mishnah says, Kadesh Loyakal Raishay Bakasa, that it shouldn't come to be lax regarding these areas of halacha. But that doesn't contradict the Braisa. Braisa on the biblical level, yes, because Dava Asa, but rabbinically we require you, since you might come to confuse it with a Dava another, and you get upset the wife pretty often, as the next text of the Gemara is going to illustrate this regarding an Am Haaretz, and so therefore it is rabbinically required to still find the Pesach. Now, Rav Amar, he gives a different interpretation in the terminology of the Braisa. And that is, he says, ha, the Braisa that says loyer maklum is referring to B'tamidei Chacham. It's talking about a Talmudic scholar. In other words, as the Rambam explains Rav's interpretation, he says, if the Braisa says, loy amaklum, he didn't say anything, sounds like that you don't need to have a Shayla, you don't have to find a Pesach whatsoever, even rabbinically. Because if you did, you wouldn't use the words loy amaklum. So he says that, no, of course, rabbinically, you need to have a Pesach. But it's referring to Talmudic Chachamim, which the Halacha of our Mishnah does not apply to. Ha, the Mishnah that says that you do need a Pesach is referring to Ba'am Ha'aretz regarding ignoramus. Ignoramus does need a habu. But the Braisa is really Lo'er Maklum, because the Talmud Chacham, the Halacha of a Mishnah doesn't apply. It doesn't even need to have a Pesach, because it's B'davar Aser, there's no neder whatsoever. Now, V'atanya, and this is actually what we learned in the Braisa, which is that the Gemara wants to illustrate this concept that although regarding an Amah Oretz, you require She'ela, still the Braisa could use the words Lo Yama Kol Melech, like you didn't say anything and you don't need to have a She'ela, because since in regards to a Talmid Chacham who doesn't need anything, you can use a halacha and say you don't need anything because it's referring in this specific context, although there is another context that would require Pesach, as we learned in the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Hanoid B'Torah. And if someone says, he takes a vow by the Torah. So Lo Yama Kol Melech hasn't said anything. What are you saying? But V'Amar B'Yechim Rechim qualified, and he says, V'Tzarch She'elu L'Chacham. But however, you need to have a Pesach for a Chacham, for this vow. And V'Amar V'Nachram, Nachram said, but B'Tamal Chacham ain't a Tzarch She'elu. But a Tamal Skadu does not need. So you see the concept of Rava, where a Braisa could say Lo Yama Kol Melech, which obviously Lema Klum, as Rava's logic was saying that, means to say you don't need to have a Pesach even rabbinically, but Rabbi Yechon says you do need to have a Shela, is because like Rav Nachman is interpreting, because the Braisa is referring to a Talmudic scholar who the Talmud Chacham doesn't need any Pesach, that's why it's valid to use the words Lema Klum, because of the Talmud Chacham, although there is another type of a person who's not a Talmud Chacham that would require a Shela for the Pesach. Again, like we learned in our Mishnah, where if an Amah Oretz says, it would require a Pesach rabbinically, but Lo Yama Kol Melech refers to a Talmud Chacham that doesn't need anything. Now, as we turn on Talmud Beis, the Ram points out that the way it comes out from the way the Gemara just explained, that if an Amah Oretz takes a neder by the Torah, he needs a Sheila rabbinically, but if someone is Matfes B'Dava Ha'asar, we learned in the Mishnah that you don't need to have any Pesach, you don't have to request any Pesach from a Chacham. There's only one exception by Nidre Ishtai. So, but it seems like the Gemara is saying that there is another exception, which Anoyed B'Torah. So on that the Ran says, because there are cases when you're Anoyed B'Torah that is going to be forbidden, as the Gemara now will illustrate that. Now those divisions, it's not well understood by an Amah Oretz, and he's going to come to mix them up. That's why, even in the case which is permitted, when you're Anoyed B'Torah, like you're really Lo Yama Kol Melech, for an Amah Oretz would require a Shela. And that's again similar to the halacha of our Mishnah, where because of the confusion of Amah Oretz, you would require a Shela, although generally, when you matras B'dava Ha'asar, obviously you're not going to have to require a Pesach even by Amah Oretz. Now, the Gemara explains now this Braisa, this halacha. Tanya learned in this Braisa. Hanoi de Batera. Someone takes a vow by the Torah. Now, the Ram points out, it really means Shenishba Batera. He takes an oath by the Torah, where the Tana sometimes calls Shvua in the words of Neider, as Ran explains in Nafchesim and Alf. Now, the case that it's talking about is where the Torah is lying in front of the person, and he says, by this Torah, I swear that I'm not going to do, or I'm going to do this and this type of thing. So that's what it means, Neider B'Torah. He's saying a Shvua, I swear by the Torah that I'm going to do this, or I'm not going to do that. So on that, the Bryce says, Lo Yama Kol Melech. He hasn't said anything. This was the halacha that we explained on the Amud Aleph, where it's only for a Talmud Chacham, but for Am Oretz, you do need a Sheila. And that's where we said that you could use Lo Yama Kol Melech according to Rava, because since for a Talmud Chacham that applies, although rabbinically for an Am Oretz you would require, and that was his resolution for the Braisa and the Mishnah. Now the reason why it's like he didn't say anything is because, as Gemara will shortly explain, it's like his intention is to swear by the parchment, not the words. Now the parchment has no significance in the sense of swearing by it, and therefore it's like he didn't say anything, and there's no shvua. Now, if he says b'mashe kasebav, if he says I swear by what's written in it, which is the Torah, the Holy Torah, and that I'm going to do this or not do that, so then dvarav kayama. Obviously, that's a real vow. Now, that's a real oath. Ba o b'mashe kasebav, and if he says in it and with what's written in it, I swear. So then, also dvarav kayama, and his words are valid, and he has to keep that shvua. Now the Gemara wonders, Katani b'mashe kasebav dvarav kayama. You said in the middle case that if you swear by what's written in it, that's a valid shvua. So then, what's the last case? And there's three cases: is Anoyed b'Torah, you didn't say anything; b'mashe kasebav is dvarav kayama; ba u'b'mashe kasebav dvarav kayama. So the question is, ba u'b'mashe kasebav tzarich l'meim? Do you have to say that? If just saying the words "what's written in it" is a shvua, so if you add on ba and meaning in it, and what's written in it, why do you have to say that case? That, of course, Dvarav Kayamin. So the Gemara gives three interpretations for this Braisa. Amrav Nachman, he says, Loi Kasha, it's not a difficulty. Ha, the Seifa, the last case of Bo B'Masha Kosaba, was talking about the Machta Oiraisa Ara. The Torah was on the floor, meaning not in the person's hand. Ha, the Reisha was talking about the Noked Lebiyadi, that he's holding it in his hand, as the Gemara explains. That is the Seifa that was talking about Machta Al Ara, that it's laying on the floor. Therefore, had he said the way the middle case says it, that I swear B'Masha Kosev Ba, that I swear with what's written in it, it would not have been like he took an oath, like he took a shavuot. The reason is, since it's laying on the floor, we would have said that his daite agvili, that his intention that he's swearing by, is by the parchment. And what he's saying is, when he says, when he would use the words b'mashe kasev ba, he would mean the Torah. In other words, the parchment. There's two ways to interpret the sentence. Now, since he's not holding it, obviously it doesn't have a chashibis to it. So when he would use the words b'mashe kasev ba, meaning with what the Torah is written on, which is the parchment, that's what I'm swearing by. So therefore, the Seifa couldn't just say b'mashe kasev ba because he's not holding it. Now, but when he says ba u'b'mashe kasev ba, that's when the Seifa says, oh, that's a valid shvuah. Because once he's already used the word ba in it, so he's already mentioned the parchment. Now when he adds on B'masha Kasaba, obviously his references regarding the holy names of Hashem written in the Torah, that's why it's going to be considered a Shavua. Whereas, regarding the Reisham, where, let's say take the first case, where if he was Noider B'Torah, he said, I swear by the Torah, so he hasn't said anything, that's because Noked Le B'Yadei. That's talking about he's holding it in his hand. And even so, when he says B'Torah, it's like he hasn't said anything, because what does he mean when he swears by the Torah? He means the parchment on which the words are written. Now, however, the middle case, when he says B'mashe Kasev Ba and he's holding it, then that's a valid Shvua, because Daite Ala Eskar Shabbat. Since he's holding it, he's giving it significance, and he's saying with what's written in it, so then obviously his intention is regarding the holy names that's written in it, and it's like he was swearing in Hashem's name, and that's why it's going to be considered a Shvua. And again, that answers the question why the Seifa has to say Ba u'b'mashe kasev ba, because it's talking about on the floor, whereas meaning not in his hand, and the middle first two cases are talking about when he's holding it, and therefore that's going to be enough in just saying B'mashe kasev ba. That's approach number one. The Iba Yisem, or the Gemara says, the second interpretation, that actually the whole entire Bryce is talking about the Machta Lar. It's on the floor, not in his hand. So what's the chiddush then of the second case? If you b'mashe kasev ba is going to be considered a shvuah for sure, ba u'b'mashe kasev ba. Now the chiddush is the afagav the machta al ar. It's actually teaching us this chiddush. It's telling you that even though it's on the floor, kiven the amar b'mashe kasev ba b'mahani, that as long as he said with what's written in it, that will be a valid shvuah. In other words, as the Ran explains, the sefer that says this seemingly unnecessary case of ba u'b'mashe kasev ba, the Devar of Kayamin, that it's going to be a valid Shavuah, it's not necessary for it as its own halacha. Rather, it's coming to reveal to us regarding the first halachas, that it's talking about that it's on the floor. But how do we know that? Because the case of the Seifa, the one of Bob Masha Kasaba, obviously, since you're saying Bob Masha Kasaba, it's even if it's on the floor, as we explained before, because even if it's on the floor, if you say Bob Masha Kasaba, obviously it's referring to the words inside of it, because when you say ba, it's the parchment. But Masha Kaseba is obviously going to tell us this halacha would apply even when it's on the floor, that it's going to be Devar of Kayamin. So from that third halacha, we learn that that's now, and the reason is because now the Gemara in the second Teretz holds not to differentiate regarding the three cases of the Braisa to say that Toma in different contexts, that one's on the floor, one's in sense, like it's all in the same case. And so if the third case is on the floor, by default, it has to be. So therefore, it's coming to reveal to us that the second case is also on the floor, and still, even though you only said B'masha Kasaba, is going to be Dvarv Kayam, and that's the approach of the second Teretz. Now, and B'zu Vein Tzarch Le'mezukatani, and you're right, it's unnecessary to say the third case. It's only revealing to us regarding the second case, which actually, there are those who want to say that the Ran's interpretation would not be Gervis this line, because it's not B'zu Vein Tzarch Le'mezukatani, because actually, you do need the third case because it reveals regarding the second case. But be that as it may, the way Argus would be saying is that you're right. You don't really need to have the third case. It's the second case itself that's teaching us the primary halacha that even if it's on the floor, B'masha Kasaba is enough. And for sure, Bob, B'masha Kasaba, if it's on the floor, this for sure going to be a Dvar of Kayyaman for a Shavua. Or if you want, you could say a third approach. And there, the halacha changes regarding the different approaches regarding what is the halacha in specific cases, if it's on the floor or in his hand. And third approach is that kula mitziyasa nami, at the whole middle and the end, is also talking about the nokele biyade. It's actually in his hand. The whole kamash wants, so then what's the chiddush of the sefer? If it's in his hand, and b'mashak kasa b'az dvar of kiyam, and so bo b'mashak kasa, but and in his hand, of course, is going to be a valid shvu. So what the sefer is teaching us is that kiven the nokud le biyade, actually it's teaching that since it's in his hand, again in contrast to the reisha, as the Rishonim explained that in this third version of the brisa, the first halacha of anoyde b'atayr loy maklum would be talking about when it's on the floor. So it's meaning not in his hand. If it's on the floor and you're swearing by the Torah, so then it doesn't have any significance because you're referring to the parchment. But it's telling us in the Sefer that since it's in his hand, that even if he only said ba, which essentially is the same thing as saying batayra, is kamanda amma b'masha kasaba dami. It's as if he said in what's written in it. In other words, when the Sefer tells us, as the Rosh explains, ba o b'masha kasaba, dvarav kayyama, what it means to say is either or. If you say ba or b'masha kasaba, it's as if you said b'masha kasaba, and the reason being is because it's in your hand. And since it's in your hand, it's not only like the case of the middle case, which b'masha kasaba, which is more of a reference to what's inside and not the parchment, that that's going to be kayyam. And the third case is saying even a bigger chiddush, since it's, we're talking about that it's in your hand, it's even going to be, even if you say ba, it's just like b'masha kasaba, it's the same thing. That is also going to be dvar of kayyama, because since it's in your hand, it's even if you say with something like a term of batayra, which is ba, it's going to be dvar of kayyama, and the references to askar shaba, the names of the Hashem inside of it, and not the parchment itself, which is like the case of the reisha when it's on the floor. Now the Mishnah continues. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, kainim. If someone says hatfasa of a carbon, which is what kainim is, it's a kinui, and he says that I want it to be forbidden to me, which is what a lashon of kainim is, shani yashin, that I'm going to sleep, or shani midaba, that I'm going to speak, or shani mahalach, that I'm going to walk, or ha'im elisha, someone says to his wife, kainim, again a term of prohibition, of a vow, shani mishamshech, that I'm going to be intimate with you, harei zeh b'lo yachol davari, this person is now in the category of not to desecrate his word. In other words, he has to keep his word of the kainim that he said, of creating a prohibition of sleeping and talking and walking or having tashmish with his wife. Now the Ram points out one thing, is that with all these words, sha'ani yashin, sha'ani medaba, the girsa is sha'ani without a yud. Whereas regards to the halacha of shvuos, and that is the contrast, this Mishnah and the next Mishnah. Here we're talking about nedarim, and the next Mishnah is going to talk about shvuos. There it's actually, the girsa is sha'ani with a yud. The reason being is because nedarim, as we always explain, creates an iser, a prohibition in the object. So you have to say sha'ani. In other words, you have to say this, that I will sleep, you're creating the iser in the object. Whereas by shvuas, the iser is in himself, in the gavra, in the person. So you say sha'ani, that I'm not going to. And that's with a yud. Now another distinction is that this that we say by the halacha and our Mishnah, nedarim, that hareza b'bal yachol devaray, whereas by shvuas we don't say that word, we say that it's prohibited, that also the Gemara will explain that discrepancy between shvuas and nedar. And the Gemara will also point that the obvious question, as we mentioned in the previous stav, and that is if a neder is taking effect in an object, what is the object that is taking effect? Sleep and speech and action are not things which have substance to be able to create an isra and a neder. That the Gemara will discuss how we find that in our halacha of nedarim, which is not a shvua, which can take effect on davishein b'mamish, but a neder has to be something that is yesh b'mamish.